you found the best place for quality internet talk. Around the clock and around the world. TalkZone.com. Let's get back to the Cyber Advisor on TalkZone.com. Once again, here is David Revelle.
Welcome back, everybody, to the December 4th edition of the Cyber Advisor. I'm Dave Revelle, and you can reach us anytime on our phone number, which is 888-463-6748, or my email, which is dave@thecyberadvisor.com. Well, we're happy to say that Cyber Advisor is the fastest-growing financial podcast on the net. We're on, in addition to our home station here at TalkZone.com, we're on Apple's iTunes, Podcast Alley, Digital Podcast, Blueberry, Get a Podcast, Amigo Fish, Nearpod, Podblaze, and Podomatic, among a couple of others. Well, one of the most prescient groups out in the market right now has to be Société Générale. That's the big merchant and private bank out of France, probably France's largest, I believe. But in a report entitled Worst Case Debt Scenario, the bank's asset team said last week, now this is an article published in the London Times, I believe, by Ambrose Evans Pritchard, who we often like to follow, and it's back on November 18th, so it's, I guess, pretty close to 2 weeks ago now, and he's reporting that Société Générale had a report called the Worst Case Debt Scenario, and the bank's asset team said state rescue packages over the last year have merely transferred private liability onto sagging sovereign shoulders, creating a fresh set of problems. As yet, says the report, nobody can yet say with certainty whether we have in fact escaped the prospect of global economic collapse. The report was headed by the asset chief Daniel Furman. Under the French bank's bear case scenario, the gloomiest of the three outcomes that they talk about in the report, the dollar could slide, global equities would retest March lows, and property prices would all tumble. And it's all on the backs at Société Générale of this worst case debt scenario where even sovereign debt ends up in trouble. In other words, exactly what happened to Dubai, but Dubai seems to be a very small case and not represent the major negative that Société Générale seemed to indicate was coming forward. Well, one of the most interesting things that is going on in the Congress right now as we speak are the hearings to reappoint Ben Bernanke as chairman of the Federal Reserve. I can remember a time when the head of the Federal Reserve Bank was hardly known. Very few people outside of Washington and perhaps Wall Street paid much attention to the Federal Reserve, but all that has changed. The Federal Reserve has become one of the most important financial institutions, not only in the world, of course, but even in our daily life, affecting such things as mortgage payments, interest rates on all kinds of things like credit cards, consumer debt, and so on. Well, Ben Bernanke was renominated by the president, and he went before the senators this week, and here's what he had to say.
I would also like to express my gratitude to President Obama for nominating me to a second term as chairman of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System and for his support for a strong and independent Federal Reserve. Finally, I thank my colleagues throughout the Federal Reserve System for the remarkable resourcefulness, dedication, and stamina they have demonstrated over the past 2 years under extremely trying conditions. They have never lost sight of the importance of the work of the Federal Reserve for the economic well-being of all Americans. Over the past 2 years, our nation, indeed the world, has endured the most severe financial crisis since the Great Depression, a crisis which in turn triggered a sharp contraction in global economic activity. Today, most indicators suggest that financial markets are stabilizing and that the economy is emerging from the recession. Yet our task is far from complete. Far too many Americans are without jobs, and unemployment could remain high for some time, even if, as we anticipate, moderate economic growth continues. The Federal Reserve remains committed to its mission to help restore prosperity and to stimulate job creation while preserving price stability. If I am confirmed, I will work to the utmost of my abilities in the pursuit of those objectives.
So that's Ben Bernanke opening statement before the Senate as he now goes and tries to get a second term as chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank. A very interesting term, but as one might expect, controversial. And leading the controversy is Jim Bunning, senator from, I believe it's Oklahoma. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Bunning looks at Bernanke as a lot of people do, and we'll talk a little about this in a moment, but it's Bernanke and the Fed's role in easy money, and which in turn created bubbles, especially the housing bubbles. And Bunning is going to question Bernanke on exactly what his role was in that. Apparently, as you'll hear here in the prepared statement by Jim Bunning, you'll hear him make reference to letters that have gone back and forth. But this is a big concern long-term for everyone who's concerned about the economy, and that is how easy is the money flowing right now. And here's Jim Bunning's opening statements addressed to Ben Bernanke.
4 years ago when you came before the Senate for confirmation to be chairman of the Federal Reserve, I was the only senator to vote against you. In fact, I was the only senator to even raise serious concerns about you. I opposed you because I knew you would continue the legacy of Alan Greenspan, and I was right. But I did not know how right I would be and could not imagine how wrong you would be in the following 4 years. The Greenspan legacy on monetary policy was breaking from the Taylor rule to provide easy money and thus inflate bubbles. Not only did you continue that policy when you took control of the Fed, but you supported every Greenspan rate decision when you were on the Fed earlier this decade. Sometime you even wanted to go farther to provide easier money than Chairman Greenspan. As recently as a letter you sent me 2 weeks ago, you still refused to admit Fed action played any role in inflating the housing bubble, despite the overwhelming evidence and the consensus of economists to the contrary.
We find ourselves in an interesting position, and the Fed is in the hot seat unlike anyone else. And the position is this. We have a tremendous amount of debt that is accumulating at a great rate. I remind you that the deficit for the last reported quarter by the federal government came in at 3 times greater than we've ever achieved in history. At the end of the Bush administration, we were at roughly a half a trillion in debt each year. We're now accumulating debt at the rate of 1.5 trillion. The way we've addressed that issue, because obviously you have a tremendous issue in paying off interest rates, the way we've addressed it to date is we've done two things. Basically, we've shortened the duration of the debt that lowers the interest rate, and we've also lowered interest rates through the policy of the Federal Reserve. So here now we find ourselves in a highly leveraged position, not just corporate America, not just the average consumer, but indeed the government in general. The day that the Fed starts to raise interest rates, and therefore we have, as taxpayers, greater interest to pay on our national debt, the Treasury debt, will be a fascinating day and a difficult one, no doubt, for all of us who are involved in that. Well, one of the interesting things in another story that was also coming out this week was exactly what is happening behind the bamboo curtain in China. How is that economy functioning and working as they kind of work through many of the same problems that the United States has? After all, their principal customer, which is the United States, is buying less Chinese goods. They're having to come out of a recession themselves. How are they stimulating themselves out of it? Martin Lee, who's the founder of the Democratic Party in Hong Kong. Now, remember, Hong Kong was deeded from Britain over to China and was given certain promises of their ability to keep their autonomy and so on. Well, Martin Lee is an old-time politician from Hong Kong, and from that position, he then looks at China. And here's Martin Lee's New Year prediction for how China will be in the upcoming year.
My prediction is that the financial bubble in China will burst. I believe all the signs are there. The property market is going much too high. And The statistics from China, unfortunately, are not dependable. And people believe that it will be soft landing. The leadership will see to it that there will be a soft landing. But I said, when a bubble lands, no matter how softly, it still bursts. So that's my prediction.
When the bubble lands, no matter how softly, the bubble bursts. So in other words, China finds itself, according to Martin Lee, in a somewhat similar position as we do. And it's this necessity to work your way out of a bubble, which essentially is you have to work off the tremendous leverage, the borrowing that you've gotten yourself into. What does Martin Lee see as the consequences for the Chinese bubble? Here's what he says.
I think if the leadership believes that its power is still very firmly in control and they still are in power, then they would let people have more freedoms rather than less. But if they believe that they might not even retain control of the country, then they would be very repressive.
Isn't it interesting how the political and the economic come together here? The political class is willing to allow the average Chinese to have a certain amount of freedom so long as the political class is not threatened. A very interesting perspective on exactly how the Chinese central government works. Well, next, Martin Lee was asked, what type of recovery can we have, and can we believe those economic numbers? Here's his response.
China, I think, has done very well as a result of this financial tsunami, comparatively, because the other countries are doing very badly, and China has been very cash-rich. So, but the bubble is growing fast, and it has to burst.
It's interesting, and this week has particularly been a week of connecting the outside dots. And the outside dots on this one are that the second largest debt holder for U.S. Treasury debt is none other than China. And so here Martin Lee has been explaining how China is managing to do all right now. But if China goes from a net position of being able to invest in U.S. Treasuries to a position of having to start selling those U.S. Treasuries off, again, that creates another problem for the U.S. No doubt that could be a cause for rising Treasury interest rates. So we see that the things that happen to China have a dramatic and direct effect on the things that happen here in the United States. And finally, to connect one last outside dot, and that is Martin Lee discusses what the importance of human rights are to the Chinese currently.
I'm questioning it mostly because of the human rights position in China. To me, I'd rather my country to be ranked number 20, but when all the people are free and there's a rule of law and democracy, rather than to be number 2 and the people are not enjoying the freedom that they deserve.
Isn't that interesting? And it has, as Martin Lee goes on in this discussion, if you get a chance, I would encourage you to listen to the whole discussion. It was on CNBC. It was early Thursday morning for us here on the East Coast, because it's happening over in Asia. It's the Asian arm of CNBC. But he goes on to discuss the importance of having, free people, that human rights are an important part of having a sustainable economy. Without human rights, without the ability to participate in the marketplace, you can't really function in a fully organized economy. And it's one of the biggest things that he sees as one of the big problems for China. A very interesting perspective for someone who's been around Hong Kong for years and years and years, who's now retired, and he takes a look back on exactly what he sees is happening in China, and as we see, has tremendous impact on our forward ability to finance our own debt, because China has always been one of the top 3 investors in our debt. Well, that's it for this part of the show. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back right after this.